Father to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come alive.
That's how I change my world. As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded with your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Second reading, Matthew chapter 7, verse 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." The last one. "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Our last reading, which is our message title to you, is Psalms chapter 144, verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle." Hallelujah. Today, by the grace of God, we are moving into our next sub-series on the series of We at War. Our first sub-series has opened our eyes to some realities of what the war is about. And I believe that when we started We at War, many of us didn't know where we were going. But now I believe we have a picture of where we are heading into. Hallelujah. Or you are still lost. Are you still with me? Let me see by hands those who are still with me in the journey. Okay, good. You're still with me in the journey. Then today we are moving into the next sub-series called The School of Warfare. Hallelujah. And the first thing we want to look at, the school of warfare, I call it, it's titled Hands for War, Fingers for Battle. Hands for what? War. Fingers for what? Battle. Hallelujah. Now, I want to begin by reminding all of us of the essence of school. Since this is the beginning of a new sub-series, I want to talk a little about school to help us appreciate what we're going to do in this sub-series. I believe that we have all been told, and I believe by now you know, that the essence of school, the reason why school is established, is to prepare us for the life ahead of us. Is that not so? So, I believe that the probability of a person being successful in life and is in life is when the person is thoroughly schooled in higher education or is schooled, and that person is likely to do better than the one who has not been exposed to school at all or has less of experience of school. The reason why when you started school you wanted to be a footballer and your parents were reporting you to teachers and your classmates to come and bundle you to school and sometimes stretch you for you to receive some lashes to remind you of coming to school is because the human culture and orientation believes that any person who is schooled has the higher probability of what? Being a successful person in life than the one who has not been schooled. So the whole essence of school is that school is to prepare you for what? Life what? Ahead. Do you agree with me? Good. So it has been proven on countless times that quality of life and impact on society cannot be separated from how much of school you have been exposed to. And school in this context, let me define school in this context, is an institution or place where people go to learn. So an institution or place that is designed for learning is called a school. Are we on the same page? Therefore, a school is an organized system to provide education, training, knowledge, skills, and character development. That is it. I'm giving this definition so that you people can, how should I put it, can do not rate people so high as how you do these days. Some of you think that when people go to school, it means that they are civilized. No. When somebody goes to school, these are the things that are listed. Number one, education. Are you using it? So education alone does not mean that it's what? A total or thorough training. Are we on the same page? Are you following me? So we can see an educated fool. Have you seen an educated fool before? Yeah, he speaks without thinking. But you'll be surprised that a person could hold a master's degree or doctorate degree. But that is not the complete definition of school. Another thing is that training. Your school life must first of all show that you are educated. When we talk of education, that means that your ability to read, write, and be able to what? Make meaning with what? Those things. To mean that you are educated. If you are here, you can be able to read and write, okay? And make meaning of those things that you have been taught, you are educated. Now, when you were in class one, you were taught 1+1, right? Now, most of you here right now, okay, Doc is here. Now, he understands that 1+1 means that 1+1 in somebody's body. Do you get it? It's different from how I interpret that 1+1. Because as a business student, that 1+1, to me, is talking about somebody's money. But he's talking about money. So you get the point. So that is what education does. So your ability to what? Read and write and make meaning with the things that you have been, what? You have been taught. It's what education is about. But that is not all about school. School also reveals your training. Are we on the same page? It also reveals the knowledge and skills you have acquired, and the best of it, character development. So if somebody are thoroughly schooled, you will see the impact in their character. So some people have incomplete, they were just educated, but they were not trained. Their character didn't develop. Are we on the same page now? Okay, good. So if you therefore want to live a meaningful life, you must be prepared what, to go to what? To school. Do you all agree with me now? So those of you don't like school, today I've tried to put you into some, so that when I start, we are in the school of what? Warfare. You understand why? So what we are coming to do here is to educate you, number one, this sub-series, okay? The school of warfare is to educate you on warfare. You understand? Train you, help you to acquire some character required for warfare. If we don't do that for you, so you find out that in the course of we are at war, some of you see where your education was complete, your training was complete. Have you developed the character to what? To handle certain spiritual matters. That is what the school of warfare is going to do in our life. Amen. Amen. Good. Now, Let's look at this. So now we all agree that for life to be meaningful and impactful, some must be thoroughly what? Schooled. Do you know that the Bible also presents to us as Christians that we have a life? Galatians 2 verse 20. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who what? Who live. But Christ lives in me. Now listen to what I said. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not in the spirit, in the heart, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of what? God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This statement of Apostle Paul defines the kind of life we live. We don't just live this natural earthly life by the principle of what? Seeing, knowing, knowing is not part, the five senses. Life for us as Christians go beyond that. We live the life of what? Christ. And that life is a spiritual life. So if by earthly understanding, our earthly life requires that we are schooled to be able to be impactful, how much more our spiritual life? Do you get it? Any meaningful spiritual life must have some expression of what? A thorough schooling. Now let's read the book of Psalms chapter 32 verse 8. Listen to God himself. That with regards to eternal life, what does he do? I will what? Instruct you and teach you in the way you should what? Go. So when you have the life of Christ, that is what. So the definition I gave about school is that school prepares you for the life ahead, right? So what school does that? It instructs you and teach you the way you should what? You should go in life. Is that also? Now this is what's speaking here. He said, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with what? My eye. So you cannot be a Christian and think that you can succeed in living this Christian life without not following this scripture. And that is talking about a pure school system. Can't you see it there? You are instructed, you are taught, you are what? You are guided. So it is important to understand that the Christian life you have subscribed to, you must what? Be schooled. Some of you, when we ask you to go and listen to messages, you have issues with us. Read Christian literature books, you want to frown at me. Sit down and take some. Okay, I heard that this these people are setting questions for us. Some of you will not go and learn and write and pass. You will think that the Christian life is you come to church, you go to church, you give offering, you tithe. You are not a football fan on a seasonal ticket of tithe and offering. You are in school. You are living a life which is the life of Christ that needs training. For it to be what? Impactful. And God said he's the one to what? Instruct you and then help you to what? So school or the concept school is very essential in the practice of the Christian faith. Amen? Okay. Now, something very important that I want to talk about today. I know most of you will be able to relate to it. Still on the matter of school. We can also agree that in as much as school is about how guiding us as to how we prepare for life. School, in its generic nature, is broken into kinds, types, and levels. So, whilst you go to school, you have to understand that in its generic nature, it's been broken into what? Kinds, types, and levels. Now, let's look at the kinds. For kinds of school, some of you hear a kind of school called business school, right? School of business, that's so. Medical school, right? The law school. Those are talking of kinds. And you know what we talk of kinds? They are the general representation of what goes over there. So when you go to school of business, half is over there, and also, and there are courses that are taught over there. So some of you, when you go to, that's what we call the universal city, university. There are many schools over there. And they are kind of what? Schools that they stand for. We're going to look at the spiritual interpretation of that. The part I like is what I'm going to right now. So now, we have kinds of schools, and it talks about what they represent in terms of the general knowledge, training, and mode of life. So you cannot go to school business and medical. It cannot happen. Some of you, your life have become what it is because your father decided to change your destiny. Am I lying? Let me look at the disappointed science students in the class. Are they here? And I want to do have some around disappointed science students. Well, deep within them, they can't do science, but they want them to become medical doctor by force. So they end up being disappointed science students. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have those kinds of schools. Now let's look at type of schools. With the types, we look at it in terms of prestige and cost associated with enrolling and going through that school. I'm talking about our natural life. So when you say you are, which type of, you can go to a kind of school, okay, but the type is also very important. DA primary 1 and 2 cannot be compared to give me some of the alpha beta, is alpha beta, what do you call it, Martin what? Yeah, the name, that is a type of school. Okay, it is even from DA primary and two. You get it. So when we talk of type of school, which type of school did you attend? In Ghana, we have type of senior high school, right? A to what? Now where are we? D or E? We are at D, right? Now, if you know that, you see, we will know your performance in BEC by the category of school you had. Unless by protocol. Generally, you see, we are able to know your academic prowess by the type of school you went to in your senior high school. So if you went to a category A, B, okay, for you know, yeah, the shakos, you get a thing, eh? But we bring us up on you know, when we're in GHS, I don't know if this time it matters to them, but by the time when we're in GHS and you don't get a category A school, it's like your life has ended, though. Some of us wanted to go back and write BEC again because I didn't get a disorder. I said, never, I'll not go to school. It took about 3-4 elderly people to convince me to go to APAM. Because our time, you see, the type of school would tell, like, oh, maybe they don't understand it these days. Now, when you go for interco, then you know that, hey, your type of school matters. Amen. So when we talk about type of school, we're talking about prestige to them, understand? And the cost that comes along with what? So it's not everybody who can read law and medical science. Medical school is very prestigious. It's a type of school on its own. Amen. Then finally, we can talk about levels of school. Now when we look at levels of school, we are talking about the basic school all the way to what? Professorship, right? So you see that when you start life, you start in the basic school. It's a level. Then move on to what? We call it what? Junior high, right? Then to the senior high. Then enter the first degree. Then master's. Then you move to doctorate. Then associate professor. Then you die. Amen. Amen. That's how some people's life is. They started like that. And all that they had was prophet died. No. That's what they did. Amen. This separation and division are to provide systematic flow of preparing you for life through training and related activities connected to school. These divisions are not just mere division. They are designed to give systematic flow of training you, of building you for life. So even though they want to build you as a medical doctor, they must start from you able to identify A, B, 1, 2, and ability to combine them to form syllables, ability to combine them to form numerals. Are you with me? That when you begin to advance, you grow, then they begin to shape you. Do you know that the type of school you attend can determine how far you go in life? Oh, it's true. That's why parents are paying so much for their children to go to some types of schools. Because it can change your life. So it is a systematic connection. Do we have this kind of spiritual pattern? Yes. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. In Hebrews, the writer was bringing to the knowledge of the church the need for some of them to progress to the next level of their spiritual or school life. And he also stated some kinds of school concepts he wanted them to have. Now let's look at it. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary, do you see elementary over there? Principles, What does elementary mean? Basic school, also of Christ. Let us go on to what? Perfection. Not laying again foundation of what? It's a whole school. From dead works and faith towards what? God. It's a whole school. School of faith. Of the doctrine. Have you seen our doctrine? Now, this is a whole course. Doctrine of what? Baptism. Of laying of what? Hands. And of resurrection of what? Dead. And of eternal what? Judgment. So, do you see basic school there and kinds of school that he was expecting them to what? To be able to go through. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, he said that whilst you're supposed to be what? Adult, you are still living on what? Milk. Hebrews chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of oracles of what? God. And you have come to need of what? Solid food. So in the Christian journey that we are as a school, are you with me? In the Christian journey that we are as a school, you cannot say that, oh, they are not systematic. No, there are kinds of, that is, it's not everything that you jump on and be listening to. It is very, that's why many people's life are just unorganized, because they just get up, they listen to this man of God, they listen to, you have not even graduated for elementary principles. You have graduated. You want to try out solid food. I remember those days that we used to go to schools to preach. Then they'll come to you. Can you teach me? That was the time, man. Ozoma, occult grandmaster, now in Christ. Now, the person who is coming to you for you to speak to him about that book does not even know what prayer is. Does not even know what salvation is. But the person wants me to talk about warfare. Can you just imagine? And that is the life of many Christians. They don't even have the basic elementary principle. You see, the thing is, you see, God in his wisdom has made us so relatable to the things and principles that we are living by on earth here, to his things. You think that Jesus couldn't have come in the of Moses and go? No. He came when man has been able to put into civilization crucifixion as a way of what? Punishment. And when man was able to cast that civilization, God descended into man, able to execute what he wants to do. So you should know that every principles we see here are realities of how the kingdom of what individual has to be what? To be. But do you know that we downplay school? That's why now we come to church, teaching is the least thing we do. People think that now when you come to church, it's more of entertainment, prophesy, do this. No. You see, it is also a school system where you have to be built. And one of the school you have to learn and be trained in is what? The school of what? Warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. So now let's move on to the school of warfare. Are you with me now? Now, concerning warfare, now our modern world today has made us feel that we do not need the knowledge in warfare. Generally, you know, if we were born in those days where kingdoms exist, when I mention the issue of warfare, you would appreciate it much. In those days, war was one of the key things that are done around or are executed or are one of the things that you see on daily basis. But in as much as we in our dispensation, let me put it this way, or in our current location that we are, there is no much expressions of warfare and other stuff. There are still some countries and places who still pursue are involved in warfare. Are you with me? So there are still some countries who are still involved in warfare, and I want to show you how they are able to what, implement the school of warfare. Now let's go through it. So part of this world does not teach us how to put into life some principles of warfare. Do you know that the average Ghanaian is something I know is trained not to be bold? Okay, let me show you. When you are going to school, has your mom ever told you, oh, am I the only one? I'm the only one here. Ah, you find out things that will tell you. That, do you know that if you are a young person now and you want to do something big or great in this our environment, the likelihood of you being discouraged is higher than being encouraged. You want to buy a car, they'll kill you. That's why when you buy a car, like if you can park the car 15 kilometers away from your hometown, take throttle and come. There is something about warfare in terms of understanding that is missing in our system. However, let's look at it. In research conducted by some warfare teachers, we found out that a widespread integration of military culture into civilian life by countries put Israel first above countries like Singapore, South Korea, Finland, North Korea, and others. Now, this research was talking about how countries are able to put in military life or wave in military life in the daily life of all the individuals. And when they did it, they ranked Israel as number one. Now, what I'm talking about, that this is a country that I've mentioned that military service is compulsory. Do you know that South Korea, even if you are a president's son, you will go for military service for 2 years? if you are who? There was this footballer in Tottenham called Son. They have to stop him from playing football to go and, 2 years. That's how they are. So, Norway, Finland, so these countries, they believe, like, they wave in the military training out of the civilian, it's part of their culture. So when you are born, you are already raised with the mentality that no matter what, you are going to have some kind of military training. Are you following me? Now, and when they were rating countries, they found out that Israel was the first in the whole world. How did they do it? Most Israeli citizens receive at least some level of military or combat-related training because military service is compulsory in Israel for most Jewish citizens. For the men, watch. Men are typically required to serve around 32 months in Israel Defense Force. Every man who is in modern Israel today, your minimum in the Israel Defense Force is 32 months, which is what? 3 years. For the women, 24 months. So the ladies are not exclusive. There's nothing like Memejuma over there. And all of them, military, yeah, you work. And IDF, I'm talking about the military defense force, you work there. You be in the forefront of war. You'll be trained. The requirement to serve in the IDF is help the citizens to gain, number one, insight in firing arms, tactical drills, emergency response, basic battlefield discipline, survivor, and security awareness. These are the things that they find out that classroom cannot teach you. Your day-to-day activity cannot teach you. So the system is designed in Israel right now that as you are born, man or woman, by the time you attain the age of 20, maximum 24, you have received these basic trainings. So you know how to fire all kinds of arms. Pistol, whatever, any kind of arm. And they know, including nuclear ones. You know how to work bomb. Basic one. They'll teach you everything. Everybody is skilled in it. So it's not like you see military men are running away. They are brothers. So we all graduated. You have decided to do full-time work. So many, all of them, almost all of them, have some sort of training. So you know how tactical plan in terms of how war is strategy, practicals. So it's not those times that they'll put you away and you'll be shaking. No. The sound of bullet is normal to them. Fire. It's by 24 months you have learned how to fire. You see? So when we take you there right now, that's why you meet them. You see, they look fearless. I don't know if you have met those Jewish people. They look fearless. Because what man not see before? I have never seen it. And it is possible. They train them for something or this thing. So, historically, why did Israel as a country, now listen to me, this is where I want to build this whole thing. I'm talking about warfare. That even though in our modern culture, warfare is not part of the way we live in some part of this world, in some part of the world, they have webbed it into what? The lifestyle of the people. So, there is no civilian or citizen. Civilian citizen is just a tag on them. Are you following me? But the individual in that country, especially modern Israel, has a fair knowledge of dealing with you on military might. They have it. And the question is, why did Israel have to make that as part of their culture, weave it into their culture, make it part of their culture? Let me tell you the history. The history of the integration of military culture into their society developed from Israel's security environment since the founding of the state in 1948. I'm coming, follow me. Including such as the Arab-Israel War. Many of you have not been able to follow this kind of documentary, so I'll just move on. Now, you know, when Israel was formed as a state after 1948, and they came to where they are right now, the modern Israel, the entire Arab world around them declared war on them. They want to make sure that nobody survives. And when the leadership of Israel, the modern Israel, saw that, see, our survivor, our survivor, look at what is coming around us. So everybody must learn how to what, at least defend themselves, because we are not dealing with one enemy. Now, this Arab attack went on to what you call the 5-day Israel war with the Arabs, where they defeated all the Arab countries in 5 days, including Egypt. So up to now, Egypt have signed a bond that do not dare partake or even activate any war against Israel. So the whole thing is that when Israel became a state, instantly people have made decision that they will make sure that not even one person will be alive in the country. Do you get a picture now? So if you find yourself in a place where you are surrounded by this kind of hostile environment, and that killing and is a success story of people, there are people around them who are trained, whose culture and training is that when you kill a Jew, you have made it in life. If it was you, will you train, let your people be civilians without any military might? Or I'm asking, will you do that? So why Israel is one of the best countries when it comes to military training, and most of their people have military training, and it's because the environment is too hostile. The enemies everywhere. So you must be able to make sure that your son, your daughter, everybody knows how to defend themselves in the matter of what? Critical. But do you know their population? Israel's population, as it stands now, is not even up to 3 million. And do you know the Arab world that surrounds them? Do you know their population? Just Iran. I know that Iran is the fourth biggest country in the world, right? After China, after India, the next is what? At Russia, Russia, and then you're coming to Iran, right? Iran is even bigger than USA. And that is just one of the Arab countries. Over 100 million people coming for you. Or 2 million. So how do you defend yourself if you have only few who understand the matters of what? Warfare. Are you following me? Good. So, Israel stands to be one of the best countries when it comes to this military training and then military focus, because they are around hostile environment. Hallelujah. Why am I talking about all these things? Let's go into the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. See, the reason why the Bible actively talks about warfare, even in the New Testament, and puts the believer on an active knowledge of warfare, is because our environment is more hostile than what Israel has. I'm going to show you hostility. Wait. Let's read this scripture very well. Listen to it very well. Maybe you don't know your neighbor countries. You don't know your neighboring countries as a church. Let's look at our neighboring countries. Let's read together. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build what? My church. Do you belong to the church? You belong to the church, right? Who is your neighbor? Let's go on. And the what? Gates of what? Hades shall not prevail against what? The neighboring country of the church. It is this gate that separates us. It's called what? Hell. The very headquarters of what? The devil. So as you are here, the next neighbor to you is looking for who to devour, and you want us to treat you as a civilian. Are you serious with me here? No. They don't know what you're talking about here. Our hostility is more stronger and dangerous than the hostility of even the modern Israel today. Let's continue. Let's examine the nature of the environment we find ourselves. This environment, let's look at it. Let's go to Matthew, the same Matthew. Chapter 11, verse 12. We're going to read two scriptures to reduce. So I'm talking about why warfare in some countries is waved into their culture and why the believer must be trained, the school of warfare. Why it is not like some people who have to be taught how to what war. No, everybody, the believer, everybody must learn how to war. It's because our hostile environment is even more than these people have mentioned. Watch here. Have you ever scripture before? I'm going to interpret it for you. Listen very well. It said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. And the violent take it by heart. Have you seen a civilian who is violent? Shall I close? Are you with me? John the Baptist was the man or was the person whose birth was an initiation to the king. Because John came to declare Jesus, to introduce what Jesus. The devil has enjoyed a peace of mind in his operations for years until Jesus was born. Until Jesus was announced. Now, when Jesus was announced, another kingdom, which is the kingdom you and I belong to, was now established on this earth in the heart of men. So, the devil has seen another kingdom in his territory. Do you think he's going to be quiet? So, the devil decided to come after the kingdom of God. What it is that there is nothing that the kingdom on this earth, the kingdom of God on earth, and the members thereof can achieve outside violence. Oh, are you with me? There's nothing. Even what you eat. You see how you are suffering? Yeah? As because you're a believer. So the kingdom of God suffered violence. And you need to be what? Violent to take it by what? You think your family witches will give you your blessings for free? No, like, are they afraid of you? No, do you think they are scared of you? Eh? See, there are some of the truth you have to tell you today. Or you think that powers that rules this territory. Okay? The powers that rules this territory. The spirits. You see, sometimes the things that our politicians do and our leaders, you think if you sit down, you know that if they are reasonable, if something is not influencing this, people do not do what they are doing. So you see, if you want to take something, you have to take it by what? By force. So violence is a nature of the believer. Because it is violence that they are bringing to you. So you need to be violent enough to be able to take it by force. So the Bible said, a strong man, as long as he is of his strength, shall hold on to his goods until another stronger man. And so any believer who thinks that, oh, I am there, my blessing will come to me, I am there, you will die poor. I promise you, you will die poor. That sickness will kill you. You will do everything you want to do. You know, because it is violence that is the language they understand. It's violence. So if you don't go by violence, forget it. Are you with you now? Let's second scripture. John chapter 7, verse 14 to 15. John 17, 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated what? Them. Because they are not of what? The world. Just as I am not of what? The world. Verse 15. You gave us your word. Now the world has hated us. What is the best thing to do? I'm not supposed to take us from where hatred is. No, listen to what he said. I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He didn't say the evil one hated us. He said the world hated us. But he's praying that should keep us from the evil one. Two different things. The evil one is Satan himself. But the system he has built, he said, leave them in it. Leave them in it. They hate. So Jesus knows that you are in a system that hates you.
So the environment of the believer, if you don't conscientize the believer about this, is that it's an environment of what? Hatred, pregnant with what? Violence towards you. And you want me to treat you like a civilian? Hey, you must learn how to resist, though. You must learn to be very, you have to be very violent. See, the violence is not against human beings. You must learn to be very violent against the spiritual person. Are you on the same page now? Good. So, this is the kind of environment that today's modern Israel is surrounded with. So, if you go to Israel, it's one of the places that the closest ally is many kilometers away. Many kilometers away. Group attacks Israel and Israel responds. You see that the factions that connect you to all come after them. When Hamas attacked them, Hezbollah came after them. They said one called the Hutus or whatever. They also started firing at them. So now, one person, you, all the rest will come after you. That's how the enemy works. So when one demon attacks, you see, as if suddenly everything comes against you. Because they are looking for a way to make sure that they deal with you violently. So why should you be so civilian towards them? That's why you have to be in the school of warfare. Hallelujah. So it's not like we are there and we are looking for fight for ourselves. No, we are already in the fight. The system is a violent system. You must learn to be violent to take it by force. Are we on the same picture now? Okay, now let's move on. So, because of this, you see that nations that I've mentioned trains their people or train the people to be military focused. And you see that I mentioned some of the things that they train them with. Tactical discipline, survivor, able to protect yourself, how to deal with emergency. It's part of the military training they give them because you are living in a very hostile environment. What about a Christian? When it comes to the Christian, the model that went through this and came out to speak about it is called King David. And in Psalm 144, verse 1, he said that God has trained my hand for what? Battle, and my fingers for what? For war. So our focus of our training, our military training, the school of warfare, is that when you graduate, your hand can engage in battle. Your fingers is a master of what? Your hand is a master of war. Your fingers is a master of what? Battles. And every believer must be able to graduate with ability to what? Wage war and conquer out in what? All kinds of battles. I pray for you. You see, you will not lose that war. You will not lose that war. Because we are going through the school of warfare. You will not lose that war. So many people are being told, the devil, if you don't do anything, he'll not do anything to you. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. He'll not do anything to you. He's a very friendly person. When in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 17, he said that he war against the offsprings of the woman. Are you part of that woman's offsprings? Somebody has declared war on you. That did you always say that you have to have it at the back of mind that if you have a personal savior, you have a personal enemy. You don't need to offend the devil because of where you belong. You're already the devil's out. Are you on the same page now? Good. So now let's look at how we are trained in warfare. As I said, we have to understand how we are trained in warfare. So today I'm just exposing you to what becomes a person who is trained in warfare. A person who is trained in warfare comes out to be a person whose hand can wage war and whose fingers cannot deal in battles. Amen. Let's look at the hand. Now, hands for war, or when the Bible says that your hand is being trained for war, what does it imply? If you look through scriptures, you find that hand has always stand for a symbol of what? Authority, especially the right hand. Let's read some few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 15 verse 6. Exodus chapter 15 verse 6. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies into what? Into pieces. Second one, Psalm 118, verse 16. So, the hand that is used in Psalm 144, symbolically, when we talk about hand, we are talking of what? Authority. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does what? Valiantly. Last one, Acts chapter 11, verse 21. So whenever we say hand, you see the hand in scriptures, we are talking about matters of what? Authority. Matters of what? Authority. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Now what happened? And a great number believed and turned towards what? The Lord. So that's authority over there. Now if you read through scriptures, you'll find out that Bible has constantly established that the believer has authority. Or the believer has been given what? Authority. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Follow me. So I said, when you are trained in the school of warfare, your hand is able to what? Wage war and prevail. And what we are talking about metaphorically is that authority. You have the authority to what? You have authority to what? Wage warfare and what? Prevail. Behold, I give you the authority. Are you there? To trample over all serpents and all scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any sword hurt you. So the Bible has established that the believer metaphorically has a hand. In other words, if you have a hand, you should be able to win war. But let's go on and see if that is how it is. So now, the Bible has established that the believer has been given authority. Part of the salvation package is authority. Now, embedded within this divine authority, let's look at authority in its details, is capacity, the ability to do, to function, and to engage, and to execute victory in the midst of hostility. So, you see, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 was talking that in that hateful, violent world, which is the environment you find yourself, you have been given something that you can be able to trample over them. You see, if the believer is beaten, it is not God's fault. If the believer is losing, it's not God's fault. Because he has given you what it takes to survive. The reason why Jesus told the Father in John chapter 17, that don't take them out of the world, because whatever you need to survive in the world and triumph in the world, he has given it to you. And that one, David said, my hand, for war. However, authority is not merely a positional reality. So many believers are being told that they have authority, and they think that, it is just there, that is it. It is just there. So when you are there, it doesn't work that way. Some believers even think that, this authority, if you just get up. I know people have gone to dare the devil and they were killed. If we were on midweek service with Daddy last week, now why is that some people will pray against certain spiritual authority and Daddy explained it. Don't think that the fact that the Bible says that you have authority, you just launch into attack. You'll be a victim. That's why they say, he trained my heart, my hand. Hallelujah. Good. But as something believers must learn to widely, effectively what? Use through training. So it's not a positional thing like a chain hanging in your neck. It's something given to you in its nature as a seed that you need to be trained, disciplined, and through experience be able to what? To use it. Now, when you look at this very thing, you find out that this is the major reason why Jesus gave the fivefold offices. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 11 to 13, the Bible says that he has given gifts unto men. Some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and what? Evangelists. For the perfection of the saints, that all may not come to the stature of what? Christ. That is the authority is. Stature of what? Christ. So even though David had a hand, the hand needed to be what? To be trained. The reason why we have defeated Christians is because they have not been trained. And where does training take place? It's not in school. It's not in school. Oh, are you with me? It's not in school. Yeah. So many believers have not been trained. So the authority is there. The devil is dealing with them and they don't know what to do. And the devil is coming after them because he sees something there. Something that is a threat. Hallelujah. How many of you here know how to use a pistol? Know how to shoot? Have ever tried a shooting lesson before? So right now, if you go to a place, are you with me? And then a gun is there. And then a bear or a lion, a wild animal is coming after you. And here lies AK-47. Fully what? Loaded. The question is, are you going to die or you survive? How? You press it, keke. Then you know that shooting is a pure physics act. You have to learn the direction of the wind. You have to learn how to control the velocity. You have to learn the speed. And then the kind of what energy, your power you must hold to be able to release. You will end up shooting your leg. You end up shooting your leg because you don't have mastery. That's how the believer is. So the believer is having a full ammunition and a wild things coming after them. And the devil is taking a few days. Why? Because the hand has not been what? Been trained. Hence, for the purpose of effectiveness in the authority given to us, to deal with this hostile, violent, induced world, the believer is trained through, number one, practice, correction, and repetition to master the use of his authority. So when David said, he has trained my hand, what it means is that he has become effective in the authority God has given him. How? Through training, practice, correction, and what? Repetition. So, you see, if you are a Christian, sometimes God tells you that you don't know, you have not mastered to certain kind of things. And God knows that you are going to see them along your way, okay? So, Paul, you see, that subject that you are trying to pass, you have done, is not, you are not passing. Yes, and God said, he has to learn life than this one. So, Paul said, this thing I have prayed for, but he says, the grace is sufficient because if he has not learned by repetition, by correction, he will not master it. I said, some of you, the things you are suffering, the comfort, like, he will give you grace. Because God has not made his mind to even take it now. You have not. God wants you to be effective. So the reason why we go through all this thing is to master that authority. Are you on the same page with you? Our warfare is to help the believer master. And I'll show you soon. Let's go there. Let's read the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Because of warfare, God has given us authority. But that authority is not effective. To be effective in it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correcting what? Righteousness. Now, let's move on to the next thing he says. That's the important thing for me. But man of God may be complete. So, without reproof, without doctrine, without all this training, you are incomplete. You are all equipped for what? Every good work. So, but you are incomplete. You are not thorough. So, there's not every word. But you see, when you look at the history of David, I'll conclude with that. You understand, this script in Psalm 144 is a powerful statement. That he has trained my hand for what? War. Therefore, hand represent a spiritual authority exercised that the believer is not spiritually weak. So, when we say somebody's hand has been trained, God has trained your hand. It means a spiritual authority that is exercised properly. Showing that you are not spiritually what? Number two, you are not passive in spiritual things. And the worst of all, you are not ignorant of what? Battles of life. Isaiah 6. The Bible said, for because of ignorance, said for people what? Perish. Be destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Because you have rejected what? Knowledge. What? Rejection. My brothers and sisters, that thing that you are suffering from is not because power or authority. It's just because of one thing. You have not been trained. This is, I'm talking about school of warfare. There are other schools that you need to be trained in to be able to what? Work well and prevent about all the things that we are supposed to exercise in them quickly. The training is what Apostle Paul presented in Ephesians chapter 7. The armor of God. Book of 1 Samuel, the chapter 16 and 17, the chapter 17. Go after Goliath. Saul gave him his armor. And he told him to wear his armor to go and fight Goliath. That was after taking few steps, he came back and said, I have no. And he took what God has trained him in. His sling. That's all he brought. You see, let's read it again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. You see the deficiency in many believers' life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of what? Of God. May stand against the wiles of what? The devil. Every tree whose authority has been trained, the evidence is that the person has the whole armor of God on them. You check for the armor of faith, you see there. Business is there. The armor of the preparation of the gospel is what is the sword of the spirit, the person has it. He knows how to what, use it. So when you are prepared for war, a hand trained for war, it means that you have the whole armor of God on you. Now he said, stand. Then he started mentioning the things you face. Believer can stand the wiles of the devil when the person has one of the armor gone. So you see that some people have issues with faith. Issues with faith. So there are fiery darts that keeps coming at them. Holding that, all that they have on them is defensive. They can't be offensive. So they are all the, but the Bible said the sword of the spirit. What is sword for? Offensive. So when we talk about a trained hand for war, it is talking about a person who is fully exercised in authority. The whole armor of God was at work on the person. The question is, which of the armor is not fully equipped? Because it is not possible to stand in war when you don't have your armor. Hallelujah. Amen. So one of the things that we are to do in this school of warfare is to examine and be sure that we are you how well do you use? See, the people, you know, one of the armor is not the preparation of the feet of the gospel. How well? That is evangelism. As I said, when Daddy was speaking on Wednesday, I said, this man, he said, when you want to displace the devil or displace a spiritual power in a place, the demon, which is an operational spirit, is being what, cast out of the people. What is the first point? Preaching of the gospel. The reason why you are not effective in your authority is because you have not even learned to preach to somebody to be born again. Until God has used you to a high hearted. See, when you see our fathers of the old now, when you hear the records of them, you see the kind of people that they want to Christ. They wield that kind of authority and power. My late father, one which my mom also confirmed, was a fetish priest. Was and one of the wife got pregnant. 12 months she has not given birth. And one day, my father was passing by, saw the woman, and the woman still not giving birth. He had a dream, and God told him that he should go and pray for the woman. God gave him scriptures. So my father woke up, gathered my mom, my father. There were 7 people. And you know, he did that until the day he died. I was recruited to the prayer warriors. And those people after church, you don't go. Once church is closed at 1 o'clock, that's around 4 p.m. There's no food for you. It's not like your owner will give you refreshment. No. And you're going to walk distance of about 1 hour. So if you don't find some orange and other things to help you along the road, faint is what you're going to faint. The kind of thing my father has subjected me to. You leave us as early as 6:30 a.m. Go up. Okay, I've not experienced that village life. Because some people, we have to go and start at 9. We will leave house 6. And then we'll visit at least 3 or 4 people. When we close at 1, everybody's going, no, prayer warriors, wait. This is when. So he gathered his prayer warriors. And he went to this man's house and told God says, go and pray for your wife. You see, they fried everything, it didn't work. So now anything anybody will try, they surrounded the woman. Start praying. After 2 hours, prophecy came to from through my mother and instructed father to take an act. So he anointed a woman. In 15 minutes, she entered into labor. Twins. She gave birth. The man and the 4 wives and the in-laws and everybody the following Sunday came to church. The following week brought every idol for my father to burn it. Do you see how much of that are we doing these days? We start investigating our armor. Many of us realize that there is so much weakness. Your faith is a faith of collection. It's not a faith that can stand trials. Because your faith must give you visa. No, there's a faith that people die because of their faith. There are people who that faith you don't have some. You don't have it. If it's not for collecting visa, it's not faith. They are fearing that are coming. So when Paul, we are trained in war, we are talking about a person who is full in the armor and the person can stand. Many believers cannot stand today because we are not fully trained. But I pray by the end of this year, our hands will be trained. See, bet in your family, you will win it. See, war is different from battle. Battle is the small boy game overcome. The war is the long-standing declaration of the enemy over your family. David was the one who ended the war between Israel and Philistines. Do you know the Philistines in the book of Judges? They were fighting the people of Israel. David, he ended it by taking Jerusalem. I said, a man whose hand was trained in war. I pray for you. See, there are wars over your family, wars over your towns. There are wars over generations. I tell you, there has been fought over and over and over in you. And this is the year we said that nonsense must stop. That war of barrenness. See, that war that nobody can buy a car in this family. You don't want to go and buy a car. Pastor Dean, so I advise them on that. You don't want the car and see. You'll be there in the night, then they'll come and tell you, see that somebody's driving your car. You spark the car, it will not move again. Then you realize that there is engine new. Then you know the power day. There are wars that are over the land. But the reason why the devil is continually in that war is because somebody's hand has not been trained. But I said the Lord will train your hand. In the mighty name of Jesus. So those things and all these things to display that the devil had no place anymore. I tell people to win souls. See, you see people around, they can't even draw them to Christ. In life, don't broadcast and preach. Preach about the love of Christ. Those people who are doing it, don't stop. When there are no human vessels, the devil has no place again. Everything you see that you don't like, start with evangelism. If you cannot win the soul, forget it. The end point is the human being. Is that not so? So as long as the human being who will be demonic agenda is being handled, when the Spirit of God takes over, who is going to do it? That was the problem we had in preaching SHS. That one particular school, they have to advise me and come for some time. Because they said they're because we didn't even get a car. People then came, gave their. In fact, I preach about the realities of hell and people. In fact, you see, literally, the chaplain called me that. So for the cases of breakups is too much. Listen. Our boy and I closed our service around 10. We left there hustling. And the things we heard in our ears, the abortions, the whatever, those who are smugglers. You think it is today that he has started? It's technology that has advanced for you to know. If TikTok was there, those like that you have now. Technology is advancing sin. That is all. They used to do it that time. They were sleeping with their teachers. And they come. So teachers even hate that. Next time we went again. And we still went to preach heaven and hell again. Because we know that, we are displaced. Oh, we went to preach it again. After that, deliverance follows. Holy Ghost. I said, you wonder, when we go for school mission, you know how we do. It is not that one violent, so because it's the last chance for that person to be born again. So when I go with all kinds of madness. No feet, preparation. You see, that is an ammo. God will help us. Amen. So many of us losing the battle because we have not trained our hand. And this, I said, this course is for us to out. The second part is about the fingers. What does the finger stand for? If you look, fingers are connected to engraving, building, touching. So if let's read the scripture. Now you see that the things that David used as he painted are very metaphoric. So you have to be able to understand what the Bible used them for. So God led the people around. That's it. 31, verse 18. And when he had made an end of speaking, he gave Moses two. Where have you sent me now? That's at 8, verse 18. Okay, I have to get that scripture for you. I'll come back. Okay, it's there. He gave Moses two tablets of the testimony tablet of stone, written or engraven. You see the aspect? So the finger of God, precision, writing. Imply in the Bible, what David wants to imply here. Finger imply precision in accurate handling of spiritual authority. You see, the thing you have been trained, do you understand? You have been trained in it, but there is an act needed. And in economics, we call that efficiency. Follow me. So, precision of spiritual authority in strategy of kingdom power. You see, trained in war, but they don't have what it takes to win battles because they downplay the place of efficiency. A typical example is Jesus casting out demons by the finger of God, demonstrating perfect precision in application of what? Spiritual authority, finger of God. Fingers focuses on efficiency in the execution of authority. Skills, details, sensitivity, and accurate handling of spiritual matters. What am I saying? Plenty. The fingers, you see, God gives you authority. Is that not so? But when authority of God comes, the natural talent, do you understand? The gifts of God that are also added to it for you. Now, don't be precise in the use of the authority. So, the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, all these spiritual gifts plus your talent are all there so that that Christ has given to us can be used precisely, efficiently. But that is when God trained you in how to put on the whole armor of God. And you know how to put on the armor. The thing that God will perfect or do is what? How you can use your skill set to work in the armor. So David said, I have not tried this what? Armor before. That is in that armor. And also, he has not used the spear. That is, his skill set has not taken time. So he said, I cannot use this to fight Goliath. I'll lose. So the first is talking about how your skill set, your ability, details, what executes the authority that you have been trained. You get it now? Let me give you a scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Let's look at that story. Watch this. The believer uses less effort to execute most difficult reasonable tax. Let's do much. This kind does not go out except by what? Fasting. Do you know the background of this story? The background of this was after being exposed to the hand of God. In Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says, and he gave them power to over what? Sickness and asked them to go and what? Heal, raise the dead. So when they came, asked them, said, oh, even the demons bow to us. So you see that they have been trained. So then one day, in the absence of Jesus, having done this before, another case. And this is where their gifts, their skill set, detail, tested, efficiency. The Bible said they did everything and nothing happened. And when Jesus, he just cast it out. And the demon left. Then they came to Jesus and asked Jesus, I'm not able to do it. And said, this kind. That means that they didn't know that there are different ways of doing. The training in the finger to war or to go into battle. Each one. Take this down. When to speak. It's not every battle that you speak. Jesus said, this kind. No, it's this kind. This one is the one who goes with what? Fasting. So you were using the wrong method. That makes them using the power of God with not inefficiency. When to pray. Number 3, when to confront. You think that is everything that you confront. Now, I'll still go back to what Daddy did on Wednesday. Now, he gave a story of when he went to Volta region to minister with Pastor Adams. And then he had an encounter with the power of that place. Do not confront. If it was you without precision, I follow him, sensitivity. As you have seen, that would be the, you know, lives would have been lost. But God said, don't confront. When in battle, sensitivity, you know when to confront. It's not everything that you. Sometimes some battles are fought when the lips are out. You know how to discern, apply scriptures accurately. Because not every battle is fought. So fingers for battle is talking about how you learn on with your walk with the Holy Spirit how to deal with different kinds of stuff. And because I've learned, your effort in applying it is less, but what the impact is. What is efficiency? Using less effort to achieve what? Greater what? So whilst people are using 100 days of fasting and prayers to cast out, just come there because you have learned on daily basis how you think your people. Daddy said it. I don't know I'm quoting Daddy. He said that Holy Ghost coming with you lack the wisdom to do it. That was what he said. His fingers were trained for what? For battle. The wisdom to exercise the authority of God. David and Chronicles of the People of Israel is considered as the best of the best. And he was a terror to his enemies. Now, history has it that David, the meals, you know what that means? War, 20 minimum. Means that there were long-standing battles that the people of Israel were involved in over years. One of them, 20 wars. Not one war was left for Solomon to fight. He finished everything. He ended every war. And as for the battle, one of the history I read about David was that for a particular year, he had only rest for 100. He was fighting, and those were the days he was in the cave. Now, he was fighting here and there because the cave that he went to, the cave of Adullam and all those territories, enemy territories, that's where he was living. So for every day from them, and David was fighting those battles every day. 200 days. Just imagine 200 days drawing sword every day. Every day. The man won all. He was concluding in his life in Psalm 144. He said that these victories of my life, these battles I've conquered, the architect behind it, the teacher of it, bend my hand. So if you want to win war, go to him. It was David who said that there is a God who is a master strategy of warfare. There's a God who is a master strategy of winning battle. As the best among the best, he didn't learn it from man. It is God who is for you. That God of David. Oh Jesus, I pray for you this year. Let that God of David, let him also train you that when you come out, people will ask you, how are you able? Then you tell them, God has trained my hand for war and has trained my fingers for battle. Are swallowing people, the battles that people are losing on daily basis, went to them, and you walk through them effortlessly, and they ask you, what is your secret? This is God of David, the master strategist of battle. He trained my finger, he trained my hand in how to win wars. That is why what is killing you, I'm past kill us daily, but we do not die. Why? Because the one who teaches us to sustain life was killing us a lot. Every warfare I've lost. Any war over my destiny, any war over my life, any battle that I'm losing, this very morning, afternoon, I come, oh God, to you, that you will train my you will train my hand in war, and you train my fingers in battle. I come to the school of warfare for effectiveness in authority and efficiency. Oh, mighty man of battle, Lord, I've come. You are the mighty man of battle. I want you to first to me. In training, David said, my conquest and my achievement of war, that is God. He trained me. He is my trainer. He is the coach. He gave me, because it was God who trained him. David never lost one single battle. He never lost a battle or a war in his life. He won the war by every precision. David could use three men. Look at how efficiency could be. And they break to the garrison of his enemies and drew water. They drew water. David, he was not the only one who slayed giants. That is how precise David was. taught him so much so well that even at a point, he can send Joab and they'll do exactly supposed to lift up our voice and pray. Where is that God? There are many warfares over our life. There are wars that mothers lost, wars that our grandfathers have lost, many wars over our family, and we are born again. We have God's authority in our life. And why is it that that war still continues in our life? Where is the God? Where is that God? Let him train us. Let him train us. Let him train us. Where is that? How to use our finger in battles, everyday trials of life. Where is that God? We must end that war of poverty this year. We must end that war of barrenness. That war has to end. It has to end. That war of sickness, it has to end this year. Because the God of war who trained David is going to train us. He's exposing us on training in the. I pray for you. You are the David of your family. You've been there for years. You are going to win that war. I said you will win that war. Listen, if nobody crosses the university, you have already crossed it. I said you have already crossed it. If that family, you are cursed, you are in the warfare, that person will be a person of dignity. I said the God that trained David is training you. I said he's training you. That spirit that withheld your father from breaking through financially, that war is the God of David who trained him in war. He's training your hand in warfare now. Be effective in that power of God. I said mountains will come down. Valleys will be made, crooked path will be made straight, because the God that what taught David of warfare. Oh, lift up your voice and begin to thank God. Oh, we thank you. We are winning that war. I don't know, but this year I said it in this school. Lift up your voice and begin to thank God. Bring you. See, I said go and list down the things you have seen your family suffer. It will end. You see, you will be the reason why people will do well in your family. And that has been my my family. I know what people are going through. Do it. So we will break through that. We will win that war. That our children will enjoy like Solomon. Early peace. His entire life. And David was what made it possible. It is God who made it possible. Oh, we are praying. Our children will not suffer it. Our sisters will suffer it. We are the reason why people will make it to the university. We are the reason why around our community. Because that war will win it. The life people of Israel. For years, David ended all and took Jerusalem. War. He stopped all the nonsense. And an entire generation never experienced one person ended the war. One person ended the war. I said, because of you, an entire no poverty. Poverty will not be mentioned in their names. An entire generation will never. You are winning our war. The Lord is training your hand. He said, I said, you are winning our war. See, an entire generation across 60 years. You are ending our war. I said, you are ending that war. You are ending that war. People will live 90s and 100s because you have won that war. Oh, said by my and by my God, I broke through. Kabran Nimo Shatakaya. God who train in this school of warfare, we will be trained. I make this declaration over you. Damoshebrandakaya. I believe that the generation. That's why they sang songs that David has killed tens of thousands. Because see, the Bible said Goliath, the sign, tormented them for years. And he even did continuously for 40 days. Sickness, eh? There's a family happening that everybody is afraid of. I said, you are their David. Oh. I said, you are their David. I said, you are their David. God is training your hand now. The God of David, train my hand in this war. That giants over the family. There are giants over the family. And I said, you are great. As long as I'm alive. Oh, Ramako Shabrantakaya. We will not suffer. Some of you, nobody has been your for generations. Nobody has been exposed to power. Nobody has been in the hands of authority. The name of Abu will be known. I said, no. See, people will mention your name and it will be a national recognition because you are broken through that glory of the family you are bringing in and out. I said, it's the time that our hands will be trained in war for Shana. Yes, you are winning that war right now. No, I said, you are winning that war right now. Wow, every war you are winning it. Manomo Shana Makabaya. Iyembaya. Mabresondo Kolebasahaya. Remekolo Mosha Mrasaya. Asayaka. Oh, of Jesus. Melabrasana. Training you. The school of warfare. Oh, Ramashabrakana Masaya. You see, I want to leave the microphone, but I don't know. So I'm telling you, there are people who are going through. Can I tell you one funny story? When I called my mom, like, oh, I went to do my passport. I see, nobody has ever done this thing in your family before. Said the devil is a bastard. Come on, passport. I said, if I had known earlier, I'm going to go move for a cry. I go telling them. What kind of nonsense is that? That my mom is extended family who has even traveled out of this country. Next year I'll travel. I'll get camp. I'm angry. See, my anger is towards that bastard. Who made it look like good can happen in that family? When I had wedding, my mom cried. I'm the first in the entire extended family. They are born. They don't marry them. I said somebody must end that war. When I got my nephew and whatever you call it, all wedding. So it was my young carbon something question. Some of us are my young carbon. See the things you have crossed. Then some of you, that's why your investing life was all struggle. They have to stop you. Some of you want to travel. You are starting, and then the enemy has read ahead. David said, "The Lord trained my hand in what war, and my fingers in battle." The training that God will give you, no war over the family, it's impossible for you to win. I want you to be angry. I have this year. Go and look for one thing that is in the family that it has finished everybody. And say, for this war, I'm ready. Train me. I have to end this nonsense so that the rest of the people after me will not follow it. I pray for you. May God manifest himself to you. I said, may God manifest himself to you. You are the savior of your family. Oh, come from Nazareth. And it shall be you.
Just breathe the name upon me.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.